بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue inshallah where we stopped last time in tafsir Surah Luqman. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Luqman and the advice of Luqman, and then he told us and advised us to obey the parents and do not obey them if they order you to do shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and haram, and be their good companion and follow the path of the righteous ones and the ones who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obediently. Then Luqman, he said to his son in verse number 16, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكون في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير.
If it be anything equal to the weight of a grain of mustard seed, and though it be in a rock, or in the heavens, or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Verily Allah is subtle in bringing out that grain, well aware of its place. So here he said to his son, know my son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and he sees everything, even a small mustard seed. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring it, no matter how small and how much and how far it is hidden, even if it is in the depth of the ocean. Subhanallah al-Azim, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power has encompassed everything. His knowledge, His power, His might encompassed everything. Let me tell you this beautiful story about a shaykh with his students. The students, they were jealous of one of the students who is beloved to that scholar. He loved him so much, and the other students, they were very jealous from that. And one day they agreed amongst each other to confront the sheikh and tell him, Ya sheikh, O our teacher, how come you love such a student so much? Why do you love him so much? Why you do not love us the same way you love him? He said to them, tomorrow I have a task for every single one of you, including him. So come to me in the morning. They all turned up in the morning, as the teacher has told them. They found that he has prepared for each one of them a knife. And he said to them, take a knife and go to the cage where I keep my birds in, eatable birds. And he said to them, each one of you takes a bird and take a knife and go hide somewhere where no one can see you, kill that bird and bring it to me. So each of those students picked up a bird and picked up the knife and went. Not long, they came back. Each one of them with the bird in his hand, killed, cleaned, ready to be eaten. They thought they're going to have a feast. Except the boy, he came back with the bird alive in his hand. He said, the rest of the students, they were very happy. They said, Alhamdulillah, see now, he disobeyed the sheikh. Now he's going to be in big trouble. He's going to be in big trouble from the teacher. The teacher asked every one of them, have you killed it? Everyone said, yes, except that boy. He said to him, why did you disobey my orders? Why didn't you slaughter the bird as I told you? He said to him, Ya sheikh, you told me to slaughter him in a place where no one can see me. Then I thought to myself, there is no place I can go except Allah can see me. And then the teacher said to them, see, this is why I love this boy. Because he has fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him and he knows what he is doing. And that's why he did not slaughter the bird. And as you see, my brothers, this is what Luqman is saying to his son. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring anything. Anything, any haram that you conceal, you do in secret and you conceal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can bring it. You cannot hide anything nor keep anything away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle in the way He does things, in the way He bring it. And at the same time, He is khabir, well aware of everything. No one can trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can play tricks on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that if you're trying to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fatwa shopping, something you know that it is haram, but you're trying to find someone who tells you it's halal, thinking that you can trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in your heart, He knows what is your intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is well aware of what you do. And that's why the taqwa is the main catalyst of us staying from haram. And here he said to him,
يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرُ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ.
O my son, أقم the salat, perform salat, enjoin on people al-ma'ruf, enjoin good, and forbid evil, and bear with patience whatever befalls you. Verily these are some of the important commandments ordered by Allah with no exemption. So what did he say to his son? This is the advice. That's how we should bring our children up on. Ya bunay, first and foremost, fix your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be fixed by the salat. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never become better without the salat. Without the salat. It is salat, it's connection. As-sila is a connection. You're connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how important the salat. He said to him, Ya bunayya aqim as-salat. So in continuously pray, do not neglect this great ibadah, as-salat. As-salat. And this is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he passed away. What did he advise the ummah with? As-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat aymanukum. The salat, very important, and whatever your hands owns from slaves and so on. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the advice of every wise man to his children, as-salat, aqim as-salat, wa'mur bil ma'ruf. And enjoin good. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Enjoin good. Whatever you are able to do, do. Alhamdulillah, today the means and money for da'wah. Whatever you can. No one is forcing you to go way out of your way. But if you do, mashallah, more reward. What we need to do is to compromise the comfort of our life to go out there and do the da'wah. Enjoin good and forbid evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many nations He destroyed before us, including Bani Israel, because they did not forbid each other from evil. And they let each other do evil. And the issue of al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, and the consequences of not doing that, that needs another lecture all on its own. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And bear patient of whatever going to come your way. It is simple, my sisters, my brothers and sisters in Islam. If you are performing the salat, doing the da'wah, you're going to get harmed. Calamity is going to come your way. Sometimes from your own family, sometimes from your brothers and sisters in Islam, and sometimes from the hypocrites, and sometimes from the kuffar, who are not Muslims. So, harm will come your way. And there is no doubt in that. If we reflect on the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, his seerah, we will see that he was harmed all throughout his da'wah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was harmed all throughout his da'wah because the da'wah brings problems to you. At the same time, it brings blessings in your life that only Allah knows how good are these blessings. And you will come on the day of judgment with mountain of hasanat. I like you to reflect on something, especially we all live in the West. We think that inshallah the better days for Islam in the West are coming. The reality, if we want to read the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will see the more Islam spreads, the harder the kuffar they're going to work to stop Islam. Because the more they feel the danger of Islam is growing, the more the shaitan going to excite them and to incite them to to oppose Islam. So that is a sunnah. Because the more Islam grows and the stronger it gets, the opposition gets greater. Because if you are small in number and weak, a lot of the times no one cares about you. But once you grow and you become stronger and they see Islam is taking stronghold, then this is, we have to prepare ourselves mentally and tactically that we're going to be attacked by the kuffar and by the kuffar media and by their tricks. So we need to know that whenever you are going to do da'wah, you need sabr for whatever going to come your way. And this advice, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summed it in Surah Al-Asr. Wal-Asr, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By the asr, by the time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Indeed, mankind is in a great state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except the one who believed. يعني they have the knowledge and they believed. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and performing the salat is from doing the good deeds. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, تَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ is to enjoin good and forbid evil. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they bear patience to whatever going to come their way, and they will advise others like them to be patient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, He couples the da'wah with sabr. Da'wah needs sabr, need patience. Sabr on the way you give the da'wah, and sabr on the conflict that the da'wah brings, and sabr on what is going to come your way from harm. Otherwise, if you don't have the sabr, you can't do the da'wah. That is very important. Very important. And the salat, wal-amalu salih, requires sabr. The salat itself. And the good deeds requires sabr. The salat requires sabr. You have to have patience to wake up in the morning, pray Fajr on time, to get in your car and drive and pray in the Jama'ah. You have to have sabr on the children when you teach them the salat. It needs sabr. So, as he said to his son, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Verily, these are some of the important commandments. مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, يعني the pinnacle and the highest of commandments. That is the pinnacle of commandments. The most important part from the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salat and the da'wah and the sabr. As we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala labeled Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Isa and Musa and Ibrahim and Nuh, ulul azmi min al-rusul. Ulul azmi min al-rusul. Yani, ulul azm is the highest and the strongest of messengers. So, min azmi al-umur, it is the highest and the strongest command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that requires a Muslim must pay attention to those, to fix his salat, to make sure he's taken part in enjoining good and forbidding evil, and to have sabr on whatever comes his way. And then he said to him,
وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ.
He said, and turn not your face away from men with pride, nor walk in insolence through the earth. Verily Allah likes not any arrogant boaster. Arrogant boaster, subhanallah. He said to him, do not turn your face away from men with pride. Yani when you talk to people, do not turn away and look at them from the side of your face. Look at them with your face. As it been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to talk to someone, he would turn all his torso to him. And he will speak to him face to face, not from the side of the face. No, because this is an act of arrogance and pride. This is an act of arrogance and pride. And then he said to him, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا, nor walk in insolence through the earth. What does it mean? Unfortunately, some of us walk in a proudful way, full of a pride, not in a humble way. We walk in a way that we are showing off. And this is for my brothers and sisters in Islam, very important. A lot of us, you see them walking in a way, are showing off. dressed in a way, a provocative way. Look at me, I'm here. Hello, I exist. Look at me. Pay attention to me. No, that is not a way. That is not a way from the Muslim. And what amazes me is some of our brothers and sisters in Islam, they want to imitate in their dress the rap gangsters and get this African-American look and dressed in a provocative way. His name is Muhammad and Abdullah and Ahmed. Ya akhi, this is a gangster look. This is a gangster look. It doesn't suit you. You're a Muslim. We're a Muslim. Dress properly, walk properly, talk properly. And the ones who adopt the hand movement of gangsters. You see, he's a Muslim. His name is Abdullah. And he moving his hand like a gangster. What are you trying to prove? What are you trying to do? It doesn't suit you. It's away from the shaitan. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be normal. This gangster look and gangster way of speaking and speaking in isolence and speaking in a proudful way. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And he said, about Ibadur Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibadur Rahman, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the faithful slaves of the Most Gracious Allah are those who walk on the earth in humility and steadiness. So that is very important, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Allah described Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of the Most Gracious. The slaves of the Most Gracious are the ones who walk hawnan, slowly, humility and steadiness. Not walking, twisting and turning. Walking as if he's breakdancing and as if he is. Ya akhi, you're a Muslim. We are different than the kuffar. We are different than the gangsters. We are different than the singers and the musicians. We walk in humility and steadiness. And we walk in a nice straight way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to walk, they used to say, كَأَنَّمَا تُطْوَى الْأَرْضُ لَهُ. يعني, as if the earth is folded under his feet. Straight, firm steps, not turning and twisting and turning and twisting. And the sister in Islam, she wears high heels and walking down the street, and you can hear her high heels cracking, and she is all twisted with her walk. What's this? Is this an Islamic walk? Is that a Muslim how she's supposed to dress to attract men? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the believing woman, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنْ. And let them not strike the earth with their feet, because they used to wear bangles or anklets or something like this around their feet. Then they used to make noise so they can attract the men with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade women from doing so. And wearing high heels is just falls under that also. The woman walk in it in a provocative way, makes noise. That is not the case of a believing man or a believing woman. Brothers who dress like gangsters and look like gangsters and then they call themselves, I am a Muslim, my name is Muhammad Ahmed, should have same shame and should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and walk like a Muslim, speak like a Muslim as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Most Gracious, they walk with the humility and steadiness, steady, not twisting and turning and dancing while you're walking. And also Luqman, he advised his son, he said, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And do not walk on earth with insolence in a provocative way. And then he said to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes not any arrogant boaster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like people with arrogance. And especially the one who boasts with arrogance. As in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, لا يدخل الجنة أحد في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. No person will enter paradise if he has in his heart a weight of an atom of pride. قالوا يا رسول الله إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعله حسنا أفيعد هذا من الكبر. They said, O Messenger of Allah, a man, he wears a good clothing and good shoes. Is this from kibr? So they are inquiring. If I wear a nice garment and I wear a nice, clean, nice shoes, would that be out of pride if I decided to buy good quality clothing? The Prophet ﷺ said, No. لا. إن الله جميل يحب الجمال. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and he likes beauty. Of course, a beauty, it doesn't mean a woman wearing makeup and wear provocative colored clothing. No. يعني a good clothing, good respectable clothing. طيب. And he said, Allah likes that. And then he said, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined for us what is kibr. He said, الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس. الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس. And here it means, بطر الحق, the بطر means to reject and belie the حق, the truth. This is first. So what is it first? First, to belie and reject the حق. When the truth comes to you, you know it is the truth, but out of pride you belie and reject it. Out of pride, you reject it and you turn it away. And then he said, غمط الناس. غمط الناس, غمط is to belittle the people. غمط الناس is to belittle the people. To belittle the person in front of you. To look down at them. Belittle what they do. Let me give you an example. There is some people, unfortunately, when you mention such and such a person, oh, who is he? He's jahil, he's this, he's that. You tell him, oh, what about this man? Oh, he's not good, he's that. What about this one? They are, he's not. No one is good in their eye. And this is because of pride in their heart. They think themselves they are above the people. They think themselves they are better than everyone else. And they belittle everyone around them. Every time somebody is mentioned to them, whether he's successful or not, out of pride and jealousy, they belittle them. Ah, oh, he's jahil. Ah, oh, he made such and such a mistake. Ah, oh, they only know the mistakes of people. They do not know what people do good. They only know the mistakes of people. And this is pride. And this is that takes someone to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. And as in the Hadith al-Qudsi, it said, Al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azamatu izari, faman naza'ani fihima alqaytuhu fi nari wa la ubali. As in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-kibriya'u rida'i, pride is my garment, and al-azama, the greatness is my izar, and whomever fights me in him, I will throw him in my fire, and I would not care about him. Subhanallah. Now, I have collected something for you, inshallah, about pride. It's very dangerous disease. The first ma'asiyah, the first sin that took part, that first sin that occurred is because of a pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first time he was disobeyed because of pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 34, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, and they prostrated except Iblis, Satan. He refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers, disobedient to Allah. So the first ma'asiyah, the first disobedience happened because of pride, showing off. I am better than him. And this is the word of shaitan. And any pride that comes, it is because of shaitan. It comes from shaitan. It comes from shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. It is, when it was said to them, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, they rejected our pride. Secondly, my brothers, pride is the reason of disunity and hatred. One of the main reasons of disunity and hatred and differences is al-kibr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Bani Israel, أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Every time a messenger comes to you, O Bani Israel, that your nafs, your hawa, your whims does not like, proudly you belie them and proudly you kill them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the hypocrites, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَوَّوْ رُؤُوسَهُمْ وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And when it was said to them, come so the messenger can repent for you. يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, He will make istighfar on your behalf and for you. لَوَّوْ رُؤُوسَهُمْ They will turn their head away with pride. Nothing has made them turn away except pride. Subhanallah, the believers will say to them, come for the messenger. The messenger will ask Allah to repent and forgive your sins. They'll turn their heads away with pride. And my brothers, pride is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tormented and destroyed nations before us. People of Nuh, when Nuh used to talk to them and give him the da'wah, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Nuh. وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَخْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا And verily every time I call unto them that you might forgive them, they thrust their fingers into their ears, covered themselves up with their garments, and persisted in their refusal and magnified themselves in pride. Shuf subhanallah. Every time he used to call them, come to Allah, come so can Allah forgive your sins. They put their fingers in their ears and they cover their heads with their garments and they will run away with pride. And not only small pride, no, magnified pride. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, as a result, he tortured them. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people of Fir'aun. استكبر هو وجنوده في الأرض بغير الحق وظنوا أنهم إلينا لا يرجعون. And proudly him and his army, they oppressed the people without the حق. وظنوا أنهم إلينا لا يرجعون. And they thought that they're not coming back to Allah. فأخذناه وجنوده فنبذناهم في اليم فانظر كيف كان عاقبة الظالمين. So we took him and his army and we threw him in the river. We drowned them in the river. See what was the result of the oppressors. Shu subhanallah al-azim. So pride is the reason of destruction. And pride is what brings destruction to nations. But what are the reasons of pride? What are the reasons? First and foremost, money. Money and wealth. When someone has a lot of money and a lot of wealth, this is the source of pride. Yesterday, your best friend, she was good friend with you. Once she got married to a rich man, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that brother a lot of wealth or inherited some wealth, or he did some business and he became wealthy, all of a sudden you see him, he doesn't want to talk to you, he doesn't know you, he stopped calling you, you call them, you talk to them, then proudly they turn away from you. Now you're not there in their class, now you're not in their level, and subhanallah al-azim, we see that with too many people. Secondly, knowledge. Yes, knowledge. Al-ilm. A lot of brothers who were ignorant, for example, they travel overseas to study Islam. They come back, all of a sudden, they think they become Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. They think they become Nawawi. They think they become ulama. And then you can hardly talk to them, showing off with a pride. And the ulama have collected books about this. For example, like a book called Zaghalul Ilm, what the ilm causes of pride. One of the main causes of pride is ilm. Unfortunately, the ilm, if it comes to a prideful heart, it will destroy it. It will destroy it. Because he would think himself he is better than everyone else. And he will treat people as if he is better than everyone. And this is, wal'iyadhu billah, this is very, very dangerous disease. Very dangerous disease. The people used to walk in on the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would look for the Prophet. They would not know which one is the Prophet ﷺ from amongst his companions. They would not know. Why? Because he never used to dress differently or show off, or he acts in a way that he is better than everyone sitting there, even though he is the messenger who is the most knowledgeable person on the face of the earth. But he never used to act in a prideful way. Subhanallah al-Azim. And this is one of the worst ways, one of the worst diseases. And also some of them would stop talking to others. Yani, if someone want to ask him a question, or at least debate him in an issue, or he's got an inquiry and he's questioning the issue so he can understand it better, he says, who are you to question me? I am now a alim, I'm a sheikh, I'm an imam. Who are you? Yesterday you were such... Yeah, but, yeah, akhi, don't treat people with pride. If he's asking you, answer him. And you see it, I see it with some imams are like that. If some person who's a jahil, he came to question him, and sometimes the jahil, he says things which are wrong. Have patience, accommodate for their needs. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he grabbed him from his garment until the companions saw the redness on the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that person he pulled him so hard, and he said, "I'adil ya Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, be just." La ilaha illa. If the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not just, who is just on the face of this earth? But he has patience. The third is an-nasab, your lineage. Some people, because they belong to Ahlul Bayt, or they think because they belong to a good family, they have to be better than everyone else. I come from XYZ family, so I am better than everyone. Or my race is white and your race is black, so I'm better than you. Or my race is Anglo-Saxon and you are Chinese, so I'm better than you. Or I am this and you are that. This is all from the Jahiliyyah. This is all from ignorance, which is Islam came to eradicate and remove and demolish. Positions also one of the main reasons. عن أبي مجلز قال خرج معاوية فقام عبد الله بن الزبير وابن صفوان حين رأوه. أبي مجلز, he said that when معاوية رضي الله عنه, he came out, يعني he entered a gathering, عبد الله بن الزبير and ابن صفوان, they stood up when they saw him. They stood up out of respect to him because he is the Amir. فقال, listen what معاوية رضي الله عنه said.
فقال اجلسا, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, من سره أن يتمثل له الرجال قياما فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. معاوية said رضي الله عنه, he said to the both of them, sit down. I have heard the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whomever wants and happy that the people, the men would stand up for him,
let him receive his seat in the fire. Announce to him his seat in fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want the men to stand up for you and that makes you happy and you want them to stand up for you when they see you, he said to him, let him know, announce to him his seat in Jahannam in fire.
So
al-mansib, the position, another reason that causes a pride in the heart of men.
So what are the characteristics of pride and what are the acts so we can avoid them, which is considered pride? First, to belittle others and to reject the haqq, as we spoke earlier. To belittle others and reject the haqq. As soon as you belittle people and you see you are better than people, then this is out of pride. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بينما رجل يجر إزاره من الخيلاء خسف به فهو يتجلجل في الأرض إلى يوم القيامة.
Whilst a man dragging his garment out of pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sunk the earth in him and he is sinking in the earth till the day of judgment. Secondly, hasdul aqran, to have envy towards your peers. Yani if someone is a da'i, you see, he has an envy to another da'i. Why the other da'i is so successful and I'm not? Or other da'i, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him ability of better of speech. You see him, because the other da'i, he is popular, he start to search through his lectures to bring out mistakes, and then to expose him and see, these are the mistakes of such and such a da'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered the mistakes. So cover them. Unless there are major mistakes in aqidah, that's something different. But out of pride, out of envy. Same thing in the trades. One brother, he's a plumber and another is a plumber. And sometimes in the gathering, this second person's name is mentioned. He says, oh, what does he know? He doesn't know how to do the job properly. He doesn't know how to do work properly. Every time he does work, he ruins it.
We need to be careful of that. Also, belittling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
This is another sign of pride. Belittling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he ate with his left hand.
Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him, he said, kul bi yaminik, eat with your right hand. He said, qala la astati', he said, I'm not able to. Qala la istata't,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah never make you able to do so.
Then he said, ma mana'ahu illa al-kibr,
nothing has stopped him from eating with his right hand except pride.
Fama rafa'aha ila fihi,
then his hand became disabled and he could not lift it to his mouth.
Shuf subhanallah, the dua of the Prophet ﷺ against this man.
And this is out of pride. It's like someone He said, I do not want to grow a beard out of pride. I don't want to grow a beard so I don't look like those terrorists or those backward people. No, this is a pride, wal-iyadhu billah. And also, ittiba'ul hawa, following the whims and desires. When person, he follows the whims and desire out of pride. So he does not accept except what meets his whims and desires and according to his whims and desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَلْبِ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will seal on the heart of every prideful tyrant. So when someone does not accept the haqq, or he only accepts what suits his whims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described him as mutakabbir, proudful tyrant. And also, the person who is described with arrogance is a person who does not learn the lessons from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as verses. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will turn away his verses from the ones who are proudful and he does not learn from them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. I will turn away my verses from the ones who they walk on the earth with pride, without truth. So the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones who do not accept the haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turns his verses away from them. He turns them from the haqq, khalas, because they have the pride in the heart. And also to think in yourself that you are better than others. To think in yourself, you are better than everyone else. Once you start thinking you are better than others, this is another sign of pride. And also to show off and not to sit with others out of pride. I would not sit with such a person. I'm better than them. As they used to do, they say, for example, the white people, we don't sit with the black people. Why? We're better than them. This is a pride, wal-iyadhu billah. This is a pride. And also we see today, wallahi, this exists inside some Muslim countries where they treat the Bengalis in a very, very bad way. And they would not sit with them. Ah, he's just a Bengali. Allahu Akbar. May he's a Muslim like you. This is a pride, wal-iyadhu billah. Also, to be proudful of what you do. Yani, to boast about yourself. Ah, oh, I've done this and I've done that. And this is what I've done here and I achieved that. And especially if it is lie or exaggerated. This is also a sign of pride. طيب. And another one, also from the characteristics of pride, you see a da'i, he does not walk by himself. He likes to have people walking with him wherever he goes. He calls the brothers, come with me, we're going to such and such a place, so he can see that he's got followers everywhere. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, once he was walking, and all his students gathered around him, and they walked in front of him, and behind him, and on his sides. He said, leave me alone. This is from the door of shaitan, and this is from the door of pride. You know, some da'is, they do not go to any place without calling two, three brothers to walk with them. Wal-iyadhu billah, this is a sign of pride. And of course, there are so many signs of pride. But how do we treat the pride? We treat the pride with, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessings upon you. Always remember that if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that he gave you, whether it's money or knowledge or health that you are, that causes you to be prideful, that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read his biography, read his sunnah, and see what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, and do exactly like it. And see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all his knowledge and all his power that he has, and he never was a prideful. And here in the hadith, Abu Rufa'a, he said, انتهيت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يخطب. قال فقلت يا رسول الله رجل غريب جاء يسأل عن دينه لا يدري ما دينه. His Abu Rufa'a, he said, I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was giving a khutbah. He said, يا رسول الله, a strange man came to ask you about his religion. He does not know what is his religion. قال فأقبل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وترك خطبته. Abu Rufa'a said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to me, he left his khutbah and he came to me until he reached to me. فأتي بكرسي حسبت قوائمه حديدة. Then somebody bring chair to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam
its legs from middle. فَقَعَدَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet said on it, وَجَعَلَ يُعَلِّمُنِي مِمَّا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ أَتَى خُطْبَتَهُ فَأَتَمَّ آخِرَهَا.
Then, after he put the chair and sat on it, he taught me whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stopped his khutbah and he came down from his minbar. They got him a chair and he sat in front of him and he taught him Islam. Then he went back to his khutbah and he continued his khutbah to the end. Look at the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the beauty of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stopped his khutbah for a man, a strange man that no one knows. He didn't say, who is he? A Bedouin man who we do not know who he is. No, he left his khutbah and he left everything he was doing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to help this man and teach his man his religion. And this man was unknown. Shufi, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we follow his way, this is one of the best cures for pride. Also, to remember the hereafter. Remember the hereafter. Once you remember the hereafter and the Jannah and the Nar, you know the value and how much you are worth. And in the hadith, احتجت الجنة والنار. Jannah and the Nar had a discussion with each other. فقالت النار في الجبارون والمتكبرون. The fire said, inside of me all the tyrants and the prideful ones. All the tyrants and the prideful ones are in Jahannam. Shuf, see the hadith here, my brothers and sisters, that if you remember where it is, the settlement and the settling place and the adobe of the prideful ones, when you remember that hadith, you know it is in Jahannam. When you remember that pride will put you in Jahannam, you will stop and you turn away from pride and you reject that character. The last one is tarkul hawa, to abandon the whims and desires. To abandon the whims and desires. Do not follow your whims and desires. Follow always the Quran and the Sunnah, even if it is not according to whims, your whims and desires. Even if it doesn't go according to your whims and desires, leave it. Abandon the hawa and the whims and desires. Yani, this is inshallah for the issue of pride. We go back to Luqman and what he said to his son. He said,
وَقُصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ.
And be moderate in your walking and lower your voice. Verily, the harshest of all voices is the braying of the donkeys.
Subhanallah al-Azim.
He said here, walk moderately and show no insolence. We already spoke about walking moderately.
But he said, وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ, and lower your voice. Don't shout and scream when you're talking to people. Don't talk in a prideful way and shouting way and speak in a boastful way. Lower your voice. Let your voice be moderate. Let the people, not too low where people cannot hear you and every minute somebody will ask you, sorry, what did you say? Sorry? No. Don't speak with the low voice where you cause people to continuously ask you to raise your voice, and at the same time do not speak with hard, harsh, loud voice.
And he said, إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The harshest of all voices is the braying of the donkey. So he is making similarities between the person who speaks with a high voice and harsh voice with the donkey, because it is the harshest of voices. So when you speak with the harsh voice, as if the person is braying like a donkey. So the Muslim, from the character of the Muslim, not to speak loudly and not to speak in the low voice that people can hear him. And also for the woman, when she speaks, she has to make sure she doesn't speak in a way, an attractive, twisted way that can attract men. This is the advice of Luqman. Inshallah, next week we will continue with verse number 20. So to summarize what we spoke about today, first,
that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything.
Nothing will be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is able to bring out anything that we say and expose anything hidden from us. And in no way a person can trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he can hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, to perform the salat, to enjoin good and forbid evil, and then to bear patience on what is going to come. We bear patience in the salat, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Patience for the da'wah, in enjoining good and forbidding evil. And patience for the result of the da'wah that comes our way from the da'wah. And know that iqamatu salat, performing the salat, and doing da'wah and having patience, it is from the important commandments. It is from the important, the pinnacle of commandments. And also, we do not walk in isolence, and we do not turn our faces out of pride, and we should stay away from pride. And we know what is the result of pride. The result of pride, that the first sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was disobeyed with, was pride. Pride destroys nations, and also pride causes separation and disunity. And also we said the reasons of pride are wealth, knowledge, lineage, status, and we said some of the characters of pride, and also characteristics of a prideful person. He said to walk on earth in moderate way, and when we speak, we do not speak in a very loud voice like the donkeys do. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.